Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Welcome along. Great to have you company this Wednesday afternoon. Well, here we do. We find ourselves in December. December 2022. It has crept up on us and here we are. So the chaos has started. So if you're a bit like me and you just want some time out, pour yourself a cuppa or something just maybe a little bit stronger. Put your feet up and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
The news had come out in the First World War. The bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. Was the night before Christmas, 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. Spied the Red Baron, fiercely they fought, with ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was caught. Dead in his sights, he reached for the trigger to pull it up tight. Why he didn't shoot, well, we'll never know. Or was it the bells from the village below? Fly to the Rhine and forced him to land behind the enemy lines. Snoopy was certain that this was the end when the Baron cried out, Merry Christmas, my friend! The Baron then offered a holiday toast, and Snoopy, our hero, saluted his host. And then with a roar, they were both on their way. Each know and made meet on some other day.
Gosh, I love Snoopy's Christmas. I can play that all the time.
Isn't it awesome that we are actually allowed to get all our music going and our decorations up? And I mean, I've just spent the whole, right, the minute the 1st of December hit, I was into it. And I'm still into it. And I'm still going. Hey, listen, I've found a new word for a start, yabba yakka.
That's right. Now say that slowly.
Yabba yakka.
Yabba yakka. That sounds Australian.
I'm a yabba yakka. Oh, well, I made it up, so it can't be. Oh. I'm not Australian. I'm definitely a Kiwi. Yabba yakka. Yeah, it was really funny because I've been to a Christmas party last week, which I didn't have time to talk about with you, but it was really, really cool for the Waikato Campervanners you know, association, et cetera. But...
Oh, yes, you said you were going to go off on that. So you'd be... Oh, my God, okay. Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
Well, it was really, really cool. I cannot say enough about how well these guys organise, having been quite an event organiser myself in another year, another lifetime, many years ago. But no, that's not the thing. Like I had that, and then I had to go off to work to a client, and these clients are car racers. And it was sort of all a very fun thing. They weren't supposed to be there for a start because I was busy getting contractors doing all sorts of work on their house, etc. And as usual, they totally messed all that up. And so anyway, I ended up down at the car track.
Which one was that? Are we allowed to ask which one was that?
Hampton Downs.
Oh, yeah, awesome. I've been on that track.
I ended up putting all this gear on and racing a car around that track. It was just unbelievable. I've got these amazing photos. It was just awesome.
We'll have to put them up on our Facebook page. Yes. Oh, how exciting.
So much fun. And seeing the tyres that they use. I mean, those tyres are smooth. There's no tread on them whatsoever. And I didn't realise this. I mean, this is just simply I'm a sailor, not a car racer, obviously, but the tread that you have on a tyre is purely for water dispersion. It's got nothing to do with holding you on the road.
It's the amount of tread on the road or amount of tyre on the road. Yeah, that's why they change them with all my little knowledge, but that's why they change them in the races when the wet weather starts. They'll change to wet weather tyres and so they have dry tyres. But I think, as I understand it, it's the amount of spread of whatever the tyre is on the road that holds you on. But better for skidding around the corners, nice smooth tyres.
No, I mean, you see, because they had to take the car back, so they had to change the tyres over to be racing on the track, and then they changed them back to street tyres, which makes them legal to take the car out onto a road. Even though it wasn't wet, they still had to change the tyres over, you know. But these tyres that they use for the track are just so smooth. I mean, I'm going, oh, my God, I would have thought that would have been like being on Quicksilver, you know, on a skating rink or something. But no, and the tyre is actually so hot that it's sticky and it sticks to the surface, yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty smooth track as well. It's not like the road, if I remember correctly. But, I mean, most tracks that are specifically made for racing, not like our roadings are. But, yeah, so did you skid round the corners?
There was no skidding at all. My driver was amazing, and I thought he was actually holding back on me. Oh, no, so I wasn't allowed to drive.
Right.
Did I mislead you there? Sorry, no, I didn't mean to say it. Oh, no, I wasn't allowed to drive. You've got to go through all sorts of trials and tests and things before you're allowed to actually get in that car and go around that thing. But my driver was a very, very experienced, wonderful man, a big hello and help out there. He owns the Dale ITMs around Auckland and the Waikato and the Coromandel, and he's a huge supporter of motor racing and a whole pile of things. So everybody, go shop at Dale ITM.
I'm just so excited for you because I ended up there actually luckily, and I didn't even have to pay for this. How about that? It was a work do for a particular place I was working or contracting to at the time, and they took us there, and it was a big kind of leader team building kind of day. And so we got to drive the track ourselves, but we also got one of the drivers to drive us round the track, which was just slightly different to what we did, you know. And I know there was a couple of us. We were lucky because nobody else wanted to do it. So we went round a couple of times. And so the other lady and I, we ended up swapping seats. So the first time the driver took us around the track, I sat in the front. And then the second time I sat in the back. And, oh, is there a difference with that as well? You want to be in the front. But just amazing. I remember one of the things they made us do is to go, I don't know what it was, whether it was from, I can't remember, but say it was 80 Ks to a stop. So you could feel what it was like to actually stop. And so that you'd have the headphones on and you'd have to be driving 80 Ks and you weren't allowed to stop until they said in your ear, stop. and you thought you were about to hit them because you were almost on top of them, and you're thinking, my gosh, they stopped, you know. And it was kind of a little bit of a defensive driving thing as well, because they've got a skid pad down there, and I think they must use that for, well, I presume defensive driving. So they wet the skid pad, and you can, So, and I thought that was really valuable. And to me, that's what a defensible, whatever driving thing is, not going around looking for, you know, hazards. It's actually experiencing it.
That is really interesting, because I was actually talking to a lady this weekend who teaches defensive driving. But just finishing off on the other story, yes, I mean, we were coming. I have got butt muscles I didn't know I had. I mean, my butt was holding on to that car like you would not believe. But we would come screaming up to this corner, and I'm going, there is no way he's going to take this corner. And sure enough, and round the corner we go, you know. I mean, the braking ability was just amazing. And no skidding on his part whatsoever. But I did see the skid pad. They did have this area that they purposely wet and have very, very slippery for training them. But to defensive driving, now, to my mind, it's the same as you. If you're learning how to defensive drive, you're learning how to use your vehicle in the way it was designed to be used to all its abilities, to save yourself if you get into a problem, or to know how not to get into a problem, etc., etc. So I met a lady on the weekend who had a camper van, and that's what her business is, defensive driving. She has a business that she can't get away in her camper van very much because it's still tying her into it. So she has a number of instructors, including herself, who are licensed to be defensive drivers, and she has the vehicles that have two people sitting in them so that, you know, one's training and the other's teaching. And so I started, having been this was long before I was on the racetrack, of course, and this is just going back to my days when I learned defensive driving, because I used to do hill climbs and things. And so that's learning how to use your brakes and your wheel and everything to be able to turn corners and slide and da-da-da. And so I asked her about that. I said, oh, that's really great. I love the fact, I think most of our problems on the road today are because people don't know how to driving, and they need to bring back these defensive driving courses that I had when I was 16 years of age. That's over a century ago, or half a century ago, you know. And we, you know, we really need to bring this back in. And I said, so do you teach them, you know, what happens when they brake a vehicle and how to put the car around the corner when they're braking and when they should brake? Oh, no, we don't do any of that.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, you look for hazards. I mean, what?
Yeah, I said to her, so, okay, explain to me what you teach when it comes to the rear vision mirrors, etc. That they don't teach them to be looking in their rear vision mirrors the whole time. I mean, you're literally, to me, flicking your eyes in your rear vision mirror the whole time so that you know exactly what cars are where on the road around you. That's what I was taught. Oh, no, they're taught to use their – and they're not taught how to back.
No.
This is a defensive driving course. And I'm saying, so what's different – about this course that makes it a defensive driving course to the ordinary teaching you how to drive courses? And she couldn't answer me.
It's just silly. I mean, you know, it's just silly. And you get your license earlier as well if you do a defensive driving course, as I understand. But you're right, there's nothing about actually driving and knowing what to do when something goes wrong and experiencing that. So, you know, back to the Hampton Downs, this is a great Christmas present for somebody to go and do that, to do some driving on there, to use the skid pad and know how to, you know, I mean, I know they have vouchers. Well, they used to before COVID, I presume they still do. Jump on their website, you know, Hampton Downs Raceway, is it called, or something, or wherever. If there's any raceway around where you are, look them up and see whether they, you know, you can do some of that what I call defensive driving.
And it sounds like that's the only place you'll get genuine defensive driving. You know, it comes back to this using words in New Zealand to describe something that is not what that word is specifically used for. So, you know, this, as far as I'm concerned, calling her course a defensive driving course and being registered as a defensive driving course is using that word defensive driving incorrectly, you know, misleadingly. But by old fashions, it's using it misleadingly. But I honestly, I will now say, I used to say to everybody, if you've got a teenage son or daughter who loves speed, get them into a defensive driving course so that they learn all about their vehicle and how to use it properly. Now I'm deleting that out of my vocabulary altogether. I am saying get them to Hampton Downs Racetrack where they will be taught how to use the car properly, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to send you some photos of me and I want to put up there as a, as a Christmas present.
I think it is. But, you know, interestingly enough, you know, you talk about us old two fogies kind of, you know, this is what for us what defensive driving is. In 10 years' time, we won't even need it because we won't even have drivers. There'll just be a little car shuttling us around somewhere and we'll just like poke in a destination and it will take us there. So maybe it's going to be a thing of the past soon enough.
How boring. I get so much enjoyment of driving those matter roads, even if I do have to keep paying fines, you know. It's like it's just driving is such an enjoyable thing to do, like so many other things. I mean, people don't read anymore. It's all audio, you know. There's all these things that are changing, and I look at them and I go, you know, that's just so boring. It was really interesting because we had all these oldies at this thing and we had all this music playing, and it really interested me how many few of the oldies knew how to ballroom dance. I thought everybody my age knew how to ballroom dance, but no.
I don't. Jeff does. But no, we did have, I think, one PE class maybe before the ball was ballroom dancing, but you would think people your age, you would think they would know.
Wouldn't you? I mean, there were a handful of them up there that were doing a little shuffle around the dance floor, but none of them sort of really knew to step out and really do a quick step or a mazurka or a waltz or a foxtrot. You know, there wasn't anybody, and they were all couples. There were very few singles there. They were all couples, and they had all been married for centuries. And, you know, that really surprised me. So can I borrow Jeff at some stage? I get really frustrated when I can't get up and dance because there isn't anybody.
Oh, he won't. I think I've managed to get him up once. I just know because he went to a private school that they were taught how to dance. I suppose if he really had to, he would, but no, he won't dance either. But talking about that, actually, so borrow him if you may, but to get him to dance, no, I don't think so, Irene. Good luck with that. There's a great New Zealand series, and it was put out ages ago. It's a bit of a satire. Well, it's you have to be the right person to actually watch it. You have to watch it with an unpolitical mind, if you like, just for what it is. And it's called Seven Periods with Mr. Gormsby. And it's about one class who are the rascals, the real rascals in the school, you know, that one that nobody wants to teach. So those, you know, the troublemakers. And Mr. Gormsby comes in and uses some of all the old techniques that are not allowed anymore. And, you know, he has to learn that they're not allowed anymore. But one thing he does is he taught them to dance. So So when they had the school ball, and it's just such a kind of little heartwarming scene amongst all this kind of chaos and black comedy, this heartwarming scene of seeing all these troublemakers, you know, he makes the girls sit on one side and the boys on the other, and then the music starts, they have to go and get the girl, you know, and they do all the different dances. And it's just quite neat. It just reminded me when you were saying that, because I think that one PE class we had, you know, you did, you were sat on either side of the room and you had to go and pick a partner.
How cool was that story? I really, you need to text that to me because that sounds cool. I'd love to read that book. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a DVD. So,
DVD.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
They did two series. You can borrow it off me. Yeah, they did two series and you'll laugh at it, but it's not for everybody. It's certainly not for everybody, as I say. But, you know, sometimes you have to take series for what they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not read into them, just take it for what it is and have a laugh, you know, move on. Yeah.
Just lighten your life up and do the fun stuff and see it as the fun stuff when it's funny in front of you, which makes me giggle because I got asked to write a report about the Waikato Christmas rally, and I thought, oh, it's very strange, this person who's not even a member of the club yet and the first time she's been there and they're asking me to write a report about it. But I guess who better to ask than somebody who goes there for the first time? So I decided I was going to make it as funny as I possibly could, to take some of the, you know, out of it. And so I got an old-fashioned song. Remember the hot chocolate song? It started with a kiss.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just,
a kiss from the classroom.
I never thought it would come to this. And right at the end, part of the chorus is, you don't remember me, do you?
Yeah.
And so I picked out little bits of this hot chocolate song as I'm writing this report, and I put it at the end there. You don't remember me, do you? Because I know 90% of them won't remember me.
So is that going for the paper? Is that going into the paper?
I think it goes into the newsletter. I think that's right. The newsletter.
Yeah. And talking about lighting up people's lives, I just heard you say earlier, so you've been lighting up, because it's December now, have you been lighting up and got your Christmas tree up and put your lights up?
Let me put it this way. All the boxes have been pulled out of the high-level storage facilities, right? So nothing was allowed to be done until the 1st. So just give it time, girl. I mean, there's a lot of boxes. There's all Nikki's boxes and there's all my boxes, and we both had enough for a house each. So now we've got enough for two houses in one house, and now we've got to go through the fighting of whose tree's the best and whose lights are the best and whose this is the best and whose... No, I'm just joking. We have already decided that we're going to... She's in charge of the tree. So I'm having nothing to do with the tree. She decides which tree, which ornaments, whatever. And I'm a keep it classy and stylish tree girl, and she's a shove everything you possibly can on it girl. So it was like, no, step right back. One of us takes rolling. Otherwise, that wasn't going to work.
Are you going to light up BZ? Are you going to put some lights around the side? So if, you know, you're going camping in this, you know, it's already December, so if you're going to go camping or, you know, out caravanning, you'll be all lit up while you're sitting there having your wine?
No, because Well, I've got these magnetic red lights that I bought last year and still haven't used. So they've got to get out in the sun. They're solar. They've got to get out in the sun and be charged up. And they're quite big red lights. And so I originally bought them to put them underneath Bessie, so she's lit up, you know, like the magnetic. So she's got all this red light coming down from underneath her. It's too hard to try and get the other lights around her without doing any sort of like getting the doors open and shut and that. So I decided the red underneath and big Christmas garlands around the inside decks and things was the best way to go. But I didn't get a chance to do that last year because I had Christmas, I don't know where I had Christmas last year, but I know it wasn't in Bessie. It was after Christmas that I left. And the same's going to happen this year. It's going to be closer towards the end of January, Bezzy's going to be sort of parked up down across the neighbour's driveway so that there's room to get in our driveway.
Well, so, for goodness sake, Irene, when you go out and it's not Christmas time, don't put those red lights underneath because you might be just attracting a few different people. And that is all of time we, that's all the time we've got today. No. Oh, God, that's it. We'll see you guys the same time, same place next week.
Ciao.
You've been listening to Two Sugars, brought to you by Delacro Communication, delacro.co.nz.